And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, saying, "Come and see."
Noise of Thunder Radio with Christian J. Pinto.
Okay, praise the Lord, you guys, and welcome. I'm Chris Pinto. This is Noise of Thunder Radio. Today on the show, we are going to talk about a new story here that has to do with history, that has to do with Marxism, that has to do with reparations for slavery. This is a great story that's posted on Breitbart. And the headline says, NFL legend Burgess Owens says Democrats should pay reparations. This is a step in the right direction, because the Democrats have been pushing this whole reparations thing for a number of years now, trying to, and of course, everybody knows what they really mean by it. It's just another way to fleece the country, to rob the country. And people will come out and they'll admit that this is about trying to really rob the white population of America, to blame white people in general for slavery, rather than acknowledge how the slave trade actually operated. Now, I've talked about this on the program before a number of times, that it makes no sense, of course, to have conservative Christian Republicans pay reparations for slavery when the Republicans were not slave owners. I've made that point. And they're the ones who fought against slavery. They're the ones who took up arms on behalf of Abraham Lincoln and put an end to the slave trade in the United States. So why would they pay reparations? That's completely illogical. But it does make sense that the Democratic Party would pay reparations, because they were the party of slavery. And there's really three groups in America, if anybody's going to pay reparations, who should pay: the Democrats as a party, the Muslims should pay, and the Jesuits should pay, because they were all directly involved in the operation of the slave trade. It was the Muslims over in Africa who obtained the blacks. They kidnapped them. They enslaved them. They went and they met with the white slave masters and sold them to the white men. That's generally how the slave trade operated. The Jesuits were big-time slave owners. They compelled the Vatican to support the Southern Confederacy. Get the book, 50 Years in the Church of Rome, by the Catholic priest, 19th century Catholic priest, Charles Chiniquy. Chiniquy, who was the personal friend of Abraham Lincoln and met with Lincoln repeatedly while he was in the White House, knew Lincoln before he ever became president. And then, of course, the Democratic Party. If you actually go study the history back in the 1800s, there is no question the Democratic Party was the party of slavery. And Lincoln was fighting against the Democrats politically. Just like today, Trump right now, as president, is fighting against the Democrats on all these different issues. Just take illegal immigration. It's the Democrats. They are the party of illegal immigration. And they're doing everything they can to hinder President Trump from protecting the country. In a similar way, you had people who wanted to abolish slavery going back to the American Revolution. Even before the Revolution, they wanted to get rid of the slave trade. But as things went on, it wasn't ended. And the Democratic Party, when they were formed, that became their issue. They were the big promoters of slavery, and they were chiefly the reason why the slave trade could not be abolished peaceably. That's key. The Democrats and the Jesuits in particular, according to Chiniquy. Now, this is if we accept Chiniquy's history, I see no reason not to accept it. Partly because much of his history is confirmed by General Thomas Maley Harris. Thomas Maley Harris, who was a Union general during the American Civil War. He served under Abraham Lincoln. He was a Union soldier, a general, and he actually sat on the court and was part of the committee that investigated the assassination of Abraham Lincoln. And he wrote the book, which you can find, which is called Rome's Responsibility for the Assassination of Abraham Lincoln. Because he believed, as Charles Chiniquy believed, that Rome and the Jesuits in particular were responsible for the assassination of Lincoln. And so there's a whole lot more to the issues that are going on in our country right now. It's just it's really interesting that debates about slavery are still going on. And when you look at the players who are behind it, the Democrats, the slavery party, Muslim, you have Muslim leaders who want to come out and talk about slavery and the fact that white people practice slavery and this kind of thing. Wait a minute, Muslims have enslaved far more people than probably any other single group in the last 1,000 years. And yet here they are wanting to lecture people about slavery in our country. And where the Jesuits are concerned, you know, the Jesuits, they make all of this show about reparations for slavery. We did a program where we showed how they're now, the Jesuits are collecting money from the students. The Jesuits are not paying a reparation. They're having the students pay a reparation to certain members of the black community over the issue of slavery. Meanwhile, at the same time, they have a Muslim professor there, a guy named Professor Jonathan Brown, who openly teaches that slavery and rape are acceptable because they were practiced by the Prophet Muhammad. We need to remember this. We need to remember it. Georgetown, the Jesuits of Georgetown, are taking millions of dollars from slave-owning Saudi Arabia today and using it to promote pro-Islamic doctrine and the false doctrine of Islamophobia, this whole idea, this false idea of so-called Islamophobia, which, as we've said before, is a doorway to Sharia law, which would be a path for bringing back slavery to the Western world, quite frankly. So that's why these issues are important. But not everybody is asleep. Not everybody is deluded. Thankfully, more and more people are waking up. And one of those people is a Christian man, NFL legend and Super Bowl champion, Burgess Owens. Burgess Owens. And if you have an opportunity to go online and listen to what he said to Congress about these issues, and he really confronted the Democratic Party. He was actually celebrating America, had a lot of great things to say about America, and really is encouraging people in this country to be thankful for the many blessings that God has given to us rather than take up these divisive issues. But he makes the comment that if anybody's going to pay reparations, it really ought to be the Democratic Party. They ought to be the ones to do it. Now, I would add to that the Muslims and the Jesuits, but I think the Democrats would owe the lion's share of reparations because for this country in particular, they were the leading political force behind perpetuating slavery. But listen, here's what I want to do. I want to play this audio clip. I want you guys to hear some of what Burgess Owens says, because he talks about history. He talks about Karl Marx and the fact that our history books have been rewritten. And I'm so thankful that he had a chair there at Congress and he could proclaim this in the hearing of all the country. We've been saying it. Many people have been saying it for years. But I'm just thankful now that these issues are getting national attention. That's what's so important. But listen, here's part of what he had to say.
People change. I used to be a Democrat until I did my history and found out the misery that that party brought to my race. So when I talk about these ideologies, ideologies don't change. People do. We're fighting for the heart and soul of our nation against socialism, Marxism, and evil that it has brought to us in the stealing of our history. Karl Marx said it best, the father of socialism, an atheist, anti-Semite, and a blatant racist. Yet we teach his philosophy in our school systems today. He said it, the first battleground is rewriting of our history. You steal our history, you steal our pride in our past, our appreciation for our present, and our vision for our future. And every single urban city in our country is now experiencing that loss.
Wow, that's powerful, isn't it? That's powerful. Here's a man who, based on his testimony that we have here, here's somebody who used to be a Democrat, like many members of the Black community, until he began to study history and to recognize that it's the Democratic Party. They were the party of slavery. They're the party who were the founders of the Ku Klux Klan. As I understand it, most of the violence carried out by the Klan against Blacks and Republicans. Many people don't realize that the Klan was not just violent toward Blacks, but toward Republicans, because Republicans were the ones who defended the rights of Black Americans. And so the violent era of the Klan was when they were part of the Democratic Party. And today, there's all of this association with the Klan and the Republicans and this kind of thing. If that's the case, isn't it interesting that they are nonviolent when they have some association with the Republicans? I find that very, very interesting as an observation, although I don't really think they are a Republican outfit. I've got to do a show on things that I have learned about the Klan. One of the more interesting details is that the manifesto that they put together back in the 19th century, I had never heard this before, but the manifesto they put together was called the Quran. The Quran, named after the Quran, the Islamic Quran. And they put together this manifesto called the Quran. Well, it's also well known that the Confederates who did this were Freemasons. They were Masons. Now, what do you get in your higher levels of Masonry? You get your Shriners, you get guys wearing the red fez of Islam. You have all of this Islamic symbolism. As Ed Decker once said when I interviewed him, he said, when you get to the higher levels of Masonry, it's all about Islam. All about Islam. Now, why would a bunch of Freemason, Confederate, slave owners choose Islam as their model for this secret order that they put together? And of course, they did it in a covert manner. I personally think what you have to do is you have to study these connections. You have to study the fact that the Prophet Muhammad was a white man who openly taught the racial superiority of white people versus dark-skinned Black people. That is simply a matter of historic record. That's one. Two, you should also study the fact that Muhammad openly taught, as Muslims teach, that on the last day, judgment day, Islamic judgment day, what's supposed to happen is Muhammad returns with Jesus, but it's the Islamic Jesus who's not the Son of God, according to Islam. And when they return, they are going to punish the Christians for worshiping Jesus, and then they destroy the cross. They punish the Christians, and they destroy the cross. Isn't that interesting? And what is the Klan known for doing? They are known for dousing crosses with gasoline and burning them up and basically destroying them. I mean, is that really a Christian tradition? Not at all. How many churches do you know of where they have this tradition of doing a cross burning at some point? Yeah, churches don't do that. Why does the Klan burn a cross? Makes no sense whatsoever until we understand the Islamic connection. All right. We're going to go to a commercial break. When we come back, we are going to listen to more of this testimony and talk about it right after this.
Christian Film Ministry, Adalam Films presents A Lamp in the Dark, the untold history of the Bible. Enter into a world of saints and martyrs battling spies, assassins and wolves in sheep's clothing. A Lamp in the Dark unfolds the fascinating history, the Bible, and the lives of the saints who fought to preserve it. This exciting look into the times of valiant men of faith, such as John Wycliffe, William Tyndale, and Martin Luther, is a must-see for any follower of Christ. Filled with rich visual graphics and dramatic reenactments, A Lamp in the Dark is an epic documentary, a powerful witnessing tool for church and Bible study groups around the world. Share with your church, your family, and friends the untold history of the Bible today.
Hello, I'm Brandon House. In April of 2013, I found a Mountain House distributor and ordered some freeze-dried food for my family because I had become concerned about what was happening in America, our lack of national security, the threat to our power grid. I also knew, living in Memphis on the New Madrin Fault, that there is the possibility of an earthquake. I also know that ice storms can cause the power to go out here, not to mention the threat of terrorism. There were many reasons. So I contacted the company Mountain House and asked if I could become a distributor of their product. I had some of their food when I was in high school on a couple camping trips, and it's really good. But now Worldview Weekend has been approved to be a distributor for Mountain House. And if you're interested, you can now go into the bookstore at worldviewweekend.com/bookstore and check out some of the freeze-dried food that you can order. We have one pack that's available. It's a bucket of food, breakfast, lunch, and dinner for 14 days for one person. For more details, just simply visit our bookstore, worldviewweekend.com/bookstore, worldviewweekend.com/bookstore.
Okay, we are back. Praise the Lord, you guys. I'm Chris Pinto. This is Noise of Thunder Radio. Today on the show, we are talking about this story about whether or not the Democratic Party will end up paying for the reparations that they continue to maintain need to be paid for, that there should be reparations paid, presumably, to the black community because of slavery. And now they're having these hearings, and you have NFL legend Burgess Owens, who is a black American. They're speaking about all of the evil done by the Democratic Party to his race of people going back to the 19th century. And we just played a clip from Burgess Owens talking about Karl Marx and the rewriting of history. Boy, is that a needed message in our country today for educators to understand this. I've said before, if I was going to teach a class on history at a college or university level, the first week would be spent teaching students about the Rees Committee in the 1950s, where they discovered the plan to rewrite American history that went back to the 1920s by the tax-exempt foundations. Because we can't really understand why history in our country is presented the way that it is unless we realize people have tampered with it deliberately. All right. Now, before we went to the break, I started to talk about a little bit about the Klan and Islam and their book, The Quran. I want to make sure I get this right because I talked about how in Islam, the last day, that what happens is the that Jesus and Muhammad come back and they destroy the cross. Really what it says specifically, and you'll find this phrase over and over again, I just want to make sure I get it right, is to break the cross, kill the swine. What is it? Break the cross, kill the swine, and abolish al-jizya. Okay? Break the cross, kill the pigs, and abolish the jizya. That's another one. However, in other, there's at least another commentary that says, quote, Christ will kill those in error, destroy crosses, and kill swine. That's another one. But it does go on to say that the Christians will be punished for worshiping Jesus Christ. Okay? So that's the idea. So the question is the Klan burning crosses because they're trying to somehow or other honor Christianity? Why would that just doesn't make any sense? Doesn't make any sense. And then why would they call their manifesto the Klan? Why would they do that? Why are these high-ranking Freemasons who, I mean, you have two. You have Albert Pike, who is a very the founder of Scottish Rite Freemasonry, the Scottish Rite degrees. He's the guy who created the Scottish Rite. And then you have Nathan Bedford Forrest. Nathan Bedford Forrest, founder of the Ku Klux Klan, was a Freemason. Albert Pike, this whole issue has been debated for many years. And I remember going over this when I was doing the Secret Mysteries series. And the Freemasons, many of them today, deny that Pike was a founder of the Klan. It's worth noting that the earliest histories of the Klan included Albert Pike as one of the founders. But of course, those early histories were written back when the Klan was still seen as a heroic organization, which it was all the way into the 1920s and 30s. And you had the film Birth of a Nation, where the Klan is celebrated as this heroic organization. So that's when Pike was included. People didn't include Pike as the one of the founders of the Klan because they were trying to insult him. They did it because that was accepted as being factual information. Now, it's worth mentioning that, yes, Freemasons deny it today. They deny it today because now we're on the other side of the civil rights movement and nobody wants to be associated with slavery or racism or the Klan. That's worth noting. And people have objected to the statue of Albert Pike there in Washington, D.C. Of course, we talk about some of this in our series when we're talking about Masonry. But could that be the inner doctrine there? The Freemasons themselves admit that everything in Masonry has at least two meanings. They have the outer and the inner meaning. And part of the reason I mention this, if any of you saw the film, the recent film by Spike Lee called Black Klansman, where he's talking about the Klan and going over this whole storyline and whatnot, Spike Lee is a filmmaker who has promoted Malcolm X. He made the film Malcolm X, where he's promoting Islam through that film. He totally gives Islam a pass on slavery, but he goes out of his way to associate the Klan with Christianity. That's part of what has got me on this whole thing. He goes out of his way to associate the Klan with Christianity, as though somehow or other the Christian community is responsible for this. And it's really turning history upside down on its head, because it's Christianity that fought against slavery. Islam to this day defends slavery. And so what are they doing, do you suppose, with that in mind, at Georgetown University, the Jesuit headquarters here in the United States? Well, we have an article here from Jihad Watch. Jihad Watch, and here's the headline. Georgetown, other universities accused of covering up millions taken from jihad-promoting Qatar. The country, the Islamic country of Qatar, known for promoting jihad. And this is an article by Robert Spencer who says, quote, Georgetown University is a national disgrace, employing numerous apologists for jihad and professional dissemblers about the teachings of Islam that incite believers to commit acts of jihad violence. The millions it is alleged to have taken from Qatar may be a partial explanation for its steep decline from academic institution to Islamic dawah and propaganda outfit. The word dawah, of course, means to invite or invitation, kind of like evangelism, Islamic evangelism. That's really what Georgetown has become. If you go study the Bridge Initiative, I know I've talked about this before. The last time I went to their website, they had taken down the video that they produced for the Bridge Initiative. But the original video that they had was an unbelievable 2 or 3 minutes of just pure propaganda. Just unbelievable propaganda, where they're saying we need to get everybody involved to combat Islamophobia. Like Islamophobia is the big problem in society that everybody needs to be concerned about. And you're looking at this going, are they kidding? But of course, it's the Jesuits. So yeah, of course, they're going to engage in this kind of sophistry and deception. So the Department of Education is going after elite colleges, the article says, for allegedly taking and hiding foreign cash, not just taking this foreign cash, but then hiding it, not disclosing it to the government as they are supposed to do. So the article says, quote, the Department of Education is going after U.S. universities over supposed ties to foreign governments after some allegedly took huge quantities of foreign cash and hid it from regulators. At the top of the list are Georgetown University and Texas A&M, which have taken hundreds of millions of dollars, hundreds of millions of dollars from the government of Qatar, a Middle Eastern nation with suspected links to international terrorism. And so the article goes on, says that the Department of Education has sent them letters, etc., and they are investigating. The article also goes on to talk about how they're taking money from Saudi Arabia as well, which we've known about for some time. Robert Spencer's been reporting on that for a while. But this article now about more money, hundreds of millions from another Islamic country. The Jesuits have become, here in America, a full-blown propaganda ministry for Islam in the United States, at least through Georgetown University. At least through Georgetown University. All right, brethren, that is going to do it for us today. That is our show. We'll stop it there, but we will be back next time as the Lord leads us. Until then, God bless you guys. I'm Chris Pinto, and you've been listening to Noise of Thunder Radio.